Hey, friends, family in Christ, welcome to another podcast. Thanks for tuning in, for sharing, for watching, listening. Today, we're going to talk about how believers in Christ can be turning down heated cultural rhetoric. We see the political things, the disagreements going on. We see a lot of division. We see a lot of incitement of violence and the hypocrisy of the left. Many of the same people who talk about being peaceful, right? They're continuing to stir up division, strife, anger through their words and actions. Well, I've got Pastor J.B. Hicks in here. We're going to talk about how to respond to this and how to have a biblical perspective on what's going on around us. That's next.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends, go to notbyworks.org to get more info on JB and his great ministry. Always something going on. He's busy traveling, speaking, preaching, writing. And his latest book you can get at Not By Works Ministries is called The Great Last Days Apostasy, How the American Church is Falling Away. JB, brother, good to see you again. Thank you for being here.
Enjoy our conversations, and you're looking forward to talking about this one today. It's a good one.
Yep, it's good. I really appreciate your perspective on these things, because some of us, we all have our biases, as you often mention, and some of us, we tend to get a little upset when we see the hypocrisy that's going on. So I want to bring up one article that we're going to be addressing. There's several of them, but one of them is over at the Washington Stand. It's called Inciting Political Violence: The Hypocrisy of the Left. And so what we want to do is not only point out these instances where they're saying one thing and doing another, because, I mean, everybody does it at some point. Republicans sometimes do it. You and I in our church setting sometimes do it. But here we're talking about a different level of, I guess, volatility in our country now, with President Trump being in the office again in the White House, because there's already been two assassination attempts on him. There's already been attacks on ICE agents. We'll talk about one specific story, shootings, riots, there's protests, and it seems like they come out of the woodwork. You know, they're prepping for it. China and the left, the Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation, all of these different groups, Antifa. And then when a conservative or Republican or someone who does not agree with the left gets in office, then they come out and try to make headlines. So, JB, your overall thoughts on what's going on and how we really do as Christians want to be aware of what's happening, but also not get sucked into it in these arguments and the heat and the debates and the rhetoric that's so off the charts today.
Yeah, for sure. So what I'd like to do is start kind of at the big picture level, but then I'd like to, before the show's over, zero into some just real practical biblical advice for all believers to take to heart to kind of help tone down the rhetoric. But certainly, you know, the evil elite that are really trying to bring down America and usher in a one world system, they've been using this technique going back literally millennia. I mean, it goes back to, I've documented as far back as Machiavelli, the whole notion of just controlled opposition, getting people to fight with each other. If they can get people fighting with each other, it makes their job a lot easier to get everybody to kind of fall in line behind an evil leader, which of course is setting the stage ultimately for the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. But, you know, there's no question that the far left is absolutely off the charts in terms of their hateful rhetoric, their you know, inciting violence and so forth. It's far more common on the far left. Conservatives in general, they may get upset, they may get heated, and you have the occasional rogue, you know, extremist out there that might, you know, shoot up an abortion clinic or something. But that's the exception when it comes to the right, more so than the rule. But the left, it's the rule. But what I'm suggesting is that, first of all, for believers to set the example that these are, important issues. We live in a time where we are very divided, both politically and in terms of biblical doctrine and so many other issues. It's nothing but division. You turn on any talking head show, whether it's Fox News, CNN, you name it, and chances are you're going to see two pundits just going after each other and personal attacks and a lot of logical fallacies and ad hominem attacks. Yeah. And, Christians should be better than that, I think. I think we should set the example and rise above it. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath. And I think if we listened more and remained calmer, we could actually defeat these ridiculous arguments on the left far easier than if we shout.
Well, I agree 100%. And I also think the thing I say at the end of every podcast, keep speaking the truth about things that matter. That's my tagline. We do need to speak the truth, but it is in love, with patience, with grace. I think you also, before we got on the air, shared that verse about let your speech always be seasoned with grace so that we're ready to respond to someone and have these conversations. I know they might not want to do that on the other side. They tend to try to shut you down, but we still need to respond in love because we have to remember who we are or whose we are, right? But let's go back to some of the just examples in this article, and we'll hopefully get to a couple other articles too. There's another one there where Democrats are literally calling for blood in the streets. Now, that may be an expression, that may be something that maybe it's just an idea, right? But some idiots, some will follow through and really want to do some physical damage. But so, for example, let's talk about this, what they often do. They call Trump Hitler or whatever, comparing the president of the United States, a duly elected president, the leader of the freest nation in the world, comparing him to an authoritarian dictator like Stalin or Hitler. It's one of the most obvious examples of heated rhetoric that's inciting fear, anger. It's toxic, JB, and they have not stopped doing this even during his first term. And I'm not defending everything Trump says or does or every policy, although I appreciate so much of what they're doing as far as the administration goes as a whole. But I'm talking about how they are continuing. They relentlessly attack and incite people just to be angry at him.
Yeah, so, I think some of it is just organic. Yeah, it's just people being, dumb rhetoric. And then, like you said, the occasional wacko is going to pick up on it and take it to heart and actually perform some horrific act. But I think I'm more sinister than that. I think a lot of it is not organic. I think it's manufactured. I think they know that these words are triggering words for some people. They've got, controlled assets out there that they're trying intentionally to rile up and get them to do terrible things. But it, I guess my point, and me, David, I always like to try to, show both sides of it. It's not just the radical left speaking against conservatives. You've got conservatives like Musk and Tucker Carlson out there making the Hitler comparisons to other people. I mean, Hitler's kind of the archetypal label that you can put on your enemy. And so I think, people will do that on both sides. But yeah, it's definitely the case that when a conservative is in office, the liberals just go apoplectic and come out with every conceivable insult they can. And it's nonstop. It's relentless. I just happen to believe that a lot of that is it's manufactured, but then it becomes organic because it just gets into the culture and everybody just jumps on this rhetoric bandwagon.
Yeah. Well, you alluded to political stunts. There are some examples in this article. I just want to bring up a couple because I don't know if everybody keeps track of all this. It's hard to keep up with all that's going on. One of them is, Senator Alex Padilla. He's a Democrat in California. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem was having a press conference. So this guy, Padilla, people are sitting there respectfully asking questions, whether they agree or disagree with the secretary, Kristi Noem. They're asking questions. This guy charges in, standing up, charges in, raising his voice. And yes, he had the right to be there and ask a question, but he rushed the podium and he's yelling at Kristi Noem, and he was arrested. So what does the left do? Make him the victim. Because the guys grabbed him, and I don't know if they actually cuffed him or not, but they took him out of the room. So the left uses that. You know what they're going to focus on? And, of course, the leftist media in our nation. most of them, they focus on that too, not on what he was doing, not the respectful dialogue on the press conference, right, or how it's everyone else is doing, but how this guy runs in. Oh, now as soon as they approach him and grab him and take him out, now that's wrong. So just the way they show that, right?
Yeah, political stunt is probably the right word for it, the perfect description. But I mean, it's seldom about what it's about. I mean, this guy probably, they probably sat in a room somewhere and decided and came up with a plan. Hey, why don't we do this? This will get a lot of attention and it'll get some media airtime and we can make our case. And so, but again, I not to keep coming back to it, but we've seen similar things on the right. I remember a guy during a State of the Union address that Obama was speaking that stood up and interrupted the whole speech by calling him a liar, that, a conservative Republican. So, it goes both ways. No question it's a matter of degree. And I think the left is far more likely and common there for those to just, because they don't have even a remote moral compass. At least conservatives, even if they don't know the Lord as their Savior, if they've never placed their faith in Christ and become born again, at least they have some semblance of decorum and some moral code, more so than the radical left. Mm-hmm. But it happens on both sides for sure. And it's a political stunt.
I agree. One more example before we move on, JB, and then I've got a question on just that you can answer, maybe. So Minnesota Governor Tim Walz formerly ran for vice president in, the 2024 election. He's at the University of Minnesota Law School. He's doing the commencement speech, and he's saying some radical things. He's speaking in just irresponsible rhetoric. One of the things, I'll just give you an example. ICE agents are Trump's modern day Gestapo. And I'm thinking, okay, how many more references are we going to hear? So the question is, what do these Democrats think will happen when they consistently talk like this and make these comparisons? And what do they think they'll happen in their party or their listeners' minds? When they hear these things, it upsets them. It stirs up fear, even though it's not true. It's an awful comparison. So these are elected representatives, but they know they're stirring up people. I don't know what their full intentions are, but it seems pretty clear by the protests we're seeing and other things.
Yeah, they definitely know what it could lead to, and again, I think that's by design. My view is that there's a lot more controlled things happening than we realize. They love to foment unrest and riots, mm-hmm. and the whole BLM thing. We see this again and again, that this isn't just a bunch of people going crazy organically. They're prompted. They're given the tools. They're given the bricks to throw. So this is part of it. But I would also say that, that's a conversation that, by the way, talking about the new biggest national police force in the history of our country, that needs to be had, but not in the way the left is having it and not framing it the way the left is framing it. But I think it's a fair question to say, do we want ICE agents, arresting people on the streets at whim without due process? We those are fair questions, just like, Gitmo and Guantanamo Bay. Those were fair questions. Unfortunately, and this goes to the whole point of what we're talking about today, David, when you get emotional and you get angry and you yell and scream and use poor arguments and call people Hitler, you can't get to the core essence of what could be some legitimate questions. I mean, I'm concerned, honestly, about some of the people that have come into Washington now and just sort of taken over. Again, I'm not picking on Trump. I don't even know if he has anything to do with it. He probably doesn't. So it's not him so much as it is these technocrats that have moved in and are, I think, putting in place a massive surveillance and police state that could serve the Antichrist well one day. But you can't even have that discussion if you're trapped in this right-left rhetoric where everybody's screaming at each other.
Yes, I agree 100%. That's a good place to just take a pause. We'll get back to JB and talk about some other articles when we come back on Worldview Matters.
Introducing Patriot Mobile, the wireless carrier that stands with you. We are committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream.
Get free activation now with promo code David. Friends, right now, Freedom Project Academy is enrolling students for this fall with live anytime and homeschool courses for pre-kindergarten through the 12th grade. And to celebrate 15 years of academic excellence, we're offering a 15% discount on all courses. Visit freedomforschool.com. That's freedom, F-O-R, school.com. Use the code David15 to save 15% on all courses at Freedom Project Academy. So JB, now the one we were, I think I alluded to this top or this article at the very beginning of the podcast. Three officers were injured in a shooting in Texas. Speaking of Texas, my goodness, does that state need our prayers, particularly the people that were so affected. A lot of families. I think the death count over 100 now with the flooding, and my goodness. Three officers injured in a shooting at Texas Border Patrol facility. The armed man was killed. But here we are again, another example of a wacko. Maybe he's a fanatic, but somehow these people get they're instigated, and they're all of a sudden they're acting out on some of the rhetoric we've been hearing. I know we're going to see more cases like this. We always do, but it's just sad when it does happen. And we're finding out more. Obviously, this happened last week, but finding out more about the guy, and it's just really tragic.
Yeah, I mean, it is tragic, and you know, I think on some level the rhetoric that is so common in political discourse right now, you know, especially coming from the left with just their just so over the top in their, you know, inciting violence. I think that marginalizes, you know, serious tragic crimes like this to some extent, because people subconsciously, you know, even sometimes people on the right might think, well, you know, maybe they deserved it, or maybe there's a point here, or maybe there's, you know, and there's no excuse for that. There's no justification for what happened. But I think people get lost in the fog of this debate, and they're not able to really separate fact from emotion, and that's the real problem. And I'd love to kind of shift our attention into the church, because I think because these are important issues politically, and they absolutely are. People get really riled up about it because that's the whole issue of the rhetoric and on TV and in the talking head shows and so forth. I think sometimes that tendency bleeds over into our personal life and church life and in the Christian realm with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we tend to instinctively have the same level of anger and emotion on issues that are not political, but even doctrinal issues, you know, whether that's, you know, music or, you know, NAR and, you know, and some of these important issues, we just start shouting at each other. And, you know, James's caution, I think, to the early church, James, one of the earliest epistles written in the New Testament by the Lord's brother, he says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." And I think if we did more listening, not to marginalize or minimalize the importance of issues, even doctrinal issues. Doctrinal issues are also quite important, like political issues. But if we would listen more, we might find that we can actually make a difference in helping shape someone's viewpoint rather than so quickly escalating to anger. And I see it. I see it in the Bible prophecy world. I see, especially younger Bible prophecy teachers that, you know, they'll hear something they disagree with one of our speakers, and they'll say, "Oh, I don't have any use for them." And they write the whole thing off, and they don't just sit down and have a dialogue. And that's what we try to do at NBW Ministries. I'll have people on the show that I disagree with on issues because I'd rather talk about it and maybe make a convert, possibly, or maybe I'll learn something and be able to defend my view even better from some of their arguments. But if we all just live in this echo chamber where we're only, you know, talking to people that agree with us, or when we talk to people who disagree with us, if we spend all of our time just calling them names and saying how heretical they are, then that doesn't serve anybody, right?
Yeah, I want to talk to you about that, about the idea of breaking fellowship with a believer over an issue. But I'm sure, like I do, I'm sure you get an email or something about, or more emails, plural, about why did you have that guest on, or you know what I mean? I mean, it's like they don't even want to give people a dialogue. It's not like we're promoting their viewpoint. It's, for example, JB, I know godly men that have said they are right on the rapture and they are going to break fellowship with someone who doesn't agree with their view, and I'm going, wow, can't we even talk about these things? What are your thoughts on, for example, someone that doesn't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture? Do you still talk to them? Are they still your brother? Explain that.
Of course, absolutely, they're still my brother. Thankfully, David, you know, having an accurate eschatology is not a prerequisite for getting into heaven, right? It's a free gift paid for by the blood of Christ. We simply trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation. If perfect doctrine was a requirement, none of us would get into heaven. So, but yeah, I have people on the show all the time that aren't necessarily pre-trib because they are an expert in some other area that I think is of value and will be helpful and edifying to our audience, and I enjoy talking about it. And so, like you, I get those emails, and the first thing I always say is, actually, we don't normally respond, but if it's someone asks me verbally, I'll say, well, was there anything on that 45-minute show that this guest said that was wrong? And they'll go, well, no, but I know he believes this, and I've heard him say this elsewhere. And I go, well, okay, people know, like you said, David, people know that we're not going to agree with our guest on everything, but, you know, we're not endorsing them on everything. Otherwise, we've just become an echo chamber. I don't even need to have guests. It can just be all JB all the time. But I love a good theological repartee. I love a good, you know, debate. You know, and so we love having these people on for a variety of reasons, but absolutely, you know, we need to get back to the what matters most. And if they're a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ, we may disagree on some things, and they're important things. I'm not discounting the importance of the doctrine of the rapture. It's critical. No one knows that, you know, better than me. I talk about it all the time. It's very important to me. But that doesn't mean we can't have a conversation with someone who may disagree on that issue.
Amen, brother. And so we don't treat them like, I think it's, is it James or Jude? I think it's Jude or Peter that talks about they crept in among us, but they weren't really of us, meaning they.
Right.
Yeah, so we don't
treat
believers. Them.
Yeah, we don't want to treat them like a heretic. Now, there's a time and a place for that. Certainly, if someone is you know impugning the grace of God and you know impugning the authority of Scripture,
the essentials.
Of course, then we certainly need to be, you know, distance ourselves. And by the way, in the new book that you mentioned at the outset, we have a whole section in there on the doctrine of separation, which I think is very comprehensive, and it gives people this notion of really when should we break fellowship. And I've dealt with I've had people disassociate with me because I went on someone else's show and they don't agree with that person. And so now they say, okay, well, you know, we're not going to, you know, be, you know, hang, we're not going to connect with you. And I'm like, well, I don't believe what that person says just because I went on their show. I mean, I'll go on Satan's show if he'll invite me. I just want to, I want to share the gospel with as many people as I can. So, I mean, that's a little bit extreme. Obviously there's a point at which I would not go on somebody's show but in general, I don't have to I don't only go on the shows of people I agree with. I want to go everywhere, you know?
So years ago, this is completely off topic, but you said going on Satan's show, so I can talk about another show. I was asked, this was, wow, what year are we, 25? About 13 years ago, I was asked to go on The Daily Show with, was it Jon Stewart?
His
producers contacted me. Why? Not because anybody knew who I was, but because I put out a book called Eradicate, Blotting Out God in America. And in that, I was talking about marriage, God-ordained marriage between one man and one woman. And I think there was a debate going on, quote, same-sex marriage. And I had clearly laid it out from a biblical perspective. I know what they wanted to do, JB. They wanted to have me on that show. And I would have taken the invitation if it would have been a fair platform to just have a conversation back and forth and share my views and the truth biblically. But I asked them, I said, okay, is this going to be edited or can I speak and answer questions and have it not be chopped up? And I don't remember exactly how I asked them, but they were honest and said, no, we've got to have the rights to pull whatever we want and we use it however we want. And I said, sorry. And you know, I watched that show whenever it aired and there was another guest they had on another Christian conservative from a a discernment ministry, and they made him look like this right-wing fundamentalist, old, out of touch, radical, And it was just so sad. They barely gave him airtime, but just had him on to make fun of. And that could have been me. So JB, even though you'd go on Satan's show, there are some shows you should not go on.
I just think it's interesting that my reference to Satan made you think of Jon Stewart. I mean, I'm just saying that people can draw whatever conclusions they want.
Okay. You know what's, and this, I know, JB, we're friends. We can be completely off topic. When you see, I see the commercials sometimes for that show. I see these people. They're beating the drum anti-Trump. It's truly Trump derangement syndrome, but I think it's more demonic because we have to understand there's a spiritual dynamic. Spiritual warfare is very real. And what drives these people, if they are not of Christ, they're of a different spirit. They are antichrist. What drives them is spiritual. And sometimes you can see it in their eyes and you can see just they are evil. Your thoughts on that as we get ready to wrap up?
Yeah, no question that hour, you know, the evening, you know, late night talk shows is probably some of the most demonic presence coming through the airwaves at any given point in the day. But yeah, I'd love to just, you know, bring it back again, like we have a few times already, to just some solutions and some answers. I think remembering Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Or Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And, you know, also just, again, being willing to listen. Proverbs 17:27, he who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. You know, not suggesting that we be sort of this snowflake, you know, thing where, you know, whatever you think's fine and, oh, you're good, I love you anyway. Not that. I'm just saying hold your convictions biblically, firmly, confidently. But be gracious when we speak to people and try to win, a convert. When we talk to people, our goal, what's our real goal? Is it to win? Are we just trying to win? Or are we actually trying to inform and educate and help maybe people come to the same conclusion? Well, we can do that a lot better with, kind, gracious words.
Great question. What's our goal? Isn't it to just speak the truth of the gospel and the love of Christ to their hearts, and hopefully they'll be receptive to it. I think of Jesus' words, by your words you'll be justified, by your words you'll be condemned. He also said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That one gets me every now and then when I tend to, you know, fall off and say something that I wished I wouldn't have said. I'm going, oh, what's in my heart in abundance? That's going to come out, right? So all this friends, there's going to be a lot going on that we're going to witness in our culture as the divide that seems like it's going to get worse and worse, and the rhetoric will probably be ramped up for the next couple of years. But we've got to be ready and know how to respond in love. JB, great points. Thanks for sharing the scriptures and bringing us back to the church and believers and how we need to be better as far as how we respond with grace, love, truth. Appreciate your ministry and all you do. God bless you, brother.
Likewise, David. Thanks so much, brother.
Thank you. Again, friends, notbyworks.org. Again, check out his latest book. And God bless you. As always, thanks for watching and keep speaking the truth about things that matter.